As promised, we are joined right now by a Super Bowl champion, a kicker for the Denver Broncos. He is entering his seventh season with the Broncos. He is Denver's NFL Players Association representative, played his college ball at Temple. He was undrafted in 2013. Brandon McManus is my guest. Brandon, great to have you on. Before we talk about anything, let me first ask you, how are you and everybody around you, your wife and your twins, doing during this very unusual time?
Thanks, Jim, for having me. I appreciate you asking. Everything's been good. We've been fortunate to be healthy and stay safe. You know, my twins are 16 months old, so really been keeping us active, kind of just around the house here and stuff like that. So we haven't had the urge to need to leave the house much. But I appreciate you asking, and hope everyone out there listening and everyone staying safe. And you know, hopefully. You know, we're getting to the bottom of this and kind of can get out there back to real civilization again.
I appreciate you saying that. Good to have you on, Brandon. All right, so very early on in the COVID-19 crisis, you, your foundation, and the Broncos teamed up to fund 120,000 meals through the Food Bank of the Rockies. How did that come to be, and then what did it feel like to be able to give back like that?
Yeah, I started my foundation last year, and it was important for me to, you know, I've had some good mentors, you know, who I have this platform to be an NFL player to impact as many lives as I can. So I wanted to do something special and help, you know, once it was kind of the beginning part of this crisis at that point. And I wanted to be a partner up with, there's an event called The Taste of the Broncos that I've been the MC for the past couple of years, which helps bring money to, you know, the Denver Food Bank Rockies and the homeless shelters here in Colorado. And so I knew I already had a pre-existing relationship with them, and I knew it was a good time for my foundation and myself, and you know, end up partnering with the Broncos to provide, you know, like you said, 120,000 meals. And then just last week, my foundation again, I wanted to highlight some. I'm a big foodie, and I like all the, you know, new restaurants and trying everything here. So some of the best restaurants, you know, that I think here in the Denver area, partnered with them, and we end up donating 500 meals to the local hospitals here for the healthcare workers. So, you know, we've been able to try to give back as much as we can here during this, you know, tough time.
Well done. Brandon McManus is joining us. Now, you and Von Miller are extremely close. In fact, he is the godfather of one of your sons. So what was your reaction when you found out that he had tested positive for COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, it was tough, obviously. I was actually going over there to work out because he's got a gym at his, you know, in his house there. And I actually had stopped probably the week before he got it. You know, for some reason, just the timing you worked out, I was kind of busy at the house and stuff like that. And, you know, he called me instantly, let me know that, you know, he was positive. And at that time, one of the doctors that I work with here, he was kind of doing a trial period. He's, you know how the MLB did a testing for the antibodies with a bunch of the staff members, stuff like that. He was kind of part of something similar. And I was able to go at least do some antibodies test there and stuff like that. And, you know, my wife and I were negative there, stuff like that, just to double check, you know, because, you know, I had been hanging out with Vaughn. But, you know, I think it was a serious issue for him, obviously, with having asthma and stuff like that. And I think, you know, he took it very seriously. And, you know, I'm just happy that he's healthy and, you know, hopefully back better than ever.
Brandon McManus is joining us. All right, then. So I enjoy having kickers on the show because I'm fascinated by the job and I'm fascinated by the mindset that you have to have to kick at that level. When did you first start kicking?
I like to say I was a pretty good athlete growing up. I played every sport. My main sport was soccer. And, you know, I loved football. I was going to the Eagles game since I was 3 years old. My dad was taking me. And, you know, I just loved the sport of football. I just was so busy playing the other sports that I didn't start actually playing football until seventh grade. Middle school, I played quarterback safety, and I was the obvious shoe-in as a kicker, you know, having my soccer background. And continued to play, you know, a bunch of sports up until 10th grade there, and then really thought that my best opportunity to get a college scholarship was kicking. I really honed in on that and was fortunate enough to get the college scholarship to Temple and started all 4 years there right away, and, you know, end up leaving as the all-time leading scorer. And then, as you said in the beginning, you know, I was hoping to get drafted, went undrafted to the Colts, sat out a whole year, you know, trying to compete against, you know, the greatest kicker of all time, Adam Vinatieri there. And then had a, you know, a little break when I was with the Giants in 2014. They ended up trading me to Denver, and then have been here since and was able to win a Super Bowl. So it's worked out. But, you know, I really kind of honed in on kicking, you know, in seventh grade when I started football, and then 10th grade when I really just focused on it.
Brandon McManus is my guest. Now, former Broncos kicker Matt Prater holds the record for the longest field goal in history at 64 yards. You routinely make kicks of that length or more warming up in a game. And then last season against the Chargers, it looked like you might get a chance for a monster field goal, but ultimately you were called back to the sideline. How much is that record then in the back of your mind, or maybe at the front of your mind?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, like I said, being a football fan since I was 3 years old and having one of the stronger legs in the NFL and knowing that I can make that, obviously you still have to put it between the two yellow poles, but you know, the distance, you know, isn't going to be an issue for that case. And you know, it's just something I would love to be a part of, you know, in NFL history. You know, I'm good friends with Matt Prater, and you know, he texted me afterwards and he couldn't believe that they didn't let me kick it. And you know, at the end of the day, it's always obviously the coach's decision. And you know, I definitely still, and he knows, you know, my buddy Vic Fangio knows that I still disagree with that. But, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, you know, I have another chance to break it. It's just a lot of times, you know, you don't get the perfect setting like that, that opportunity right at halftime there. But, you know, I would love to have that record. I think it's a unique thing to have. And, you know, I always like to keep setting the bar for the kickers who keep getting better and better every year.
How far do you think you can go in a perfect situation, the right conditions, you're feeling it, you hit it right? How far, what's the longest field goal you think you can hit realistically?
I'm getting old now, Jim. But, no, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, I kicked a live rep in practice with the live Russian from 73 here in Denver. Ooh. I had some wind, and it was the summertime in training camp, so it's definitely optimal conditions. But in a game, I think, you know, you're more around the 68-ish number, I think, is probably a realistic thing, you know, with warm weather. It doesn't technically really have to be in Denver, per se. I think, you know, down in Miami or stuff like that, when the ball is still going to travel, or in Arizona. I think 68 is probably a good number that is a realistic game number.
68 would be a great number. Brandon McManus joining us now. You're more than just a kicking machine. As an example, last April, you went to Augusta and you watched a practice round of the Masters and the tournament itself. And you've known Zach Johnson for a long time. The story goes, you asked him for an extra ticket. He then asked you if you wanted to be his caddy for the par 3 contest. What was your reaction when he asked you that?
Yeah, it was incredible. I'm a big golf fan, and I've known Zach for a bunch of years now, going to his charity event out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, benefiting his foundation for kids and education there. And, you know, I asked for an extra ticket. I was bringing my brother-in-law because I know it was a dream trip for my dad and my brother Andy, and wanted to, you know, create that experience for him. So then 2 weeks before we got there, he texted me about, you know, caddying in the par 3, and I almost thought he was joking because I couldn't believe it. But, you know, it's just this unbelievable experience just to be there, and then obviously to be inside the ropes. And you know, his caddy Brett Waldman showed me around, and you know, I had an incredible experience. One of the cool stories is I was in the caddy barn. He said, "If I wanted a beer," I said, "Yeah, of course, I'll take a beer." So we take the beer, and he goes, "All right, let's go." So we walk up right to the practice putting green, and I still have a beer in my hand, and I'm watching Tiger putt, Justin Thomas putt. I'm just sitting on the practice green with a beer in my hand. I'm looking around, and no one else has it. I'm like, what am I doing here? But
so
no, it was an incredible experience to be a part of that. And I got a lot of crap from Peyton Manning because he said usually the only people who are caddying in it are the players' kids or supermodels. So. he cracked a bunch of jokes on me for it.
That is funny. So what did you think about the way Peyton was hitting it on Sunday? What did you make of his game?
Yeah, I thought he played for those conditions. Obviously, it's tough. And then to be on TV like that, you know, I think he would like to be better off the tee. You know, I think him and Tom were spraying it, you know, into those pine straws and those bushes. But I thought his iron play was fantastic. And, you know, when they needed him kind of on 16 with that incredible shot there closest to the pin, almost had the $25 million hole in one, and on 18 to get it on the green there and let them, you know, pretty much two putt for the win, I thought was, you know, he's very clutch, you know, similar to what he's been doing for his whole career. And, you know, I enjoyed that match. I thought it was a blast for everybody to watch, just to see two of the best players in golf and two of the best players ever in football. and just to see how humbling it is that these, you know, football players just get, you know, beaten down by the game of golf.
Hey, Brandon, one last thought before I let you go. What is your expectation as it relates to a timeline for training camp and off-season activities?
Yeah, I think, you know, just we're kind of coming up to the later part of when the OTAs would end. Usually it's June 15th around there, but with this, when they initially started with the virtual meeting stuff, they kind of pushed it to June 26th. It was kind of the last day that we could really do anything at a facility. But, you know, with some of the states still not opened, all 32 facilities have to be opened. And there's still a grace period of getting, one, employees and coaches into the building, and then also a grace period of build-up of practices that we can do on the field. And I just don't know if it's worth going in for maybe a week and we can't even do much on the field because we have kind of that grace build-up here because you don't know exactly what players have been doing in the offseason. You know, you got almost a $200 million salary cap, and you don't want someone to pull a hamstring because you don't know what they've been doing just because they flew in, just got off a plane, and they have to do a three-day practice because that's the only time frame we can do. So in my opinion, just, you know, from here and everything, and the best breakdown is that we would report for training camp around that July 28th time. And I think that's the first time we'd be in a NFL facility. But I think we'll be able to go, you know, full-fledged right from that time period.
Brandon McManus is a Super Bowl champion, the kicker for the Broncos, and entering his seventh season with the team. We covered a lot of ground. Brandon, great to have you on the show. Appreciate the time. Thanks for the interview. Hope we can do it again.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you. Brandon, thank you. Did cover a lot of ground with him. And he is their player rep, so that's why that was critical to have that part of the conversation at the very end.